Whenever I just lift your right hand, say, my heart is receptive to receive the word this morning. As the truth is being taught, I see it as God speaking to me. This morning, as the truth is being taught, I see it as God speaking to me. My heart is receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught in accuracy, with precision, and at the end of this meeting, we are edified. I am edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So, we've been dealing with a very interesting series for the past 2 months, so to say, beginning of September. The leading of the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit, or how to recognize the leading of the Spirit, you know. And we've come to understand certain important fact. Let's just run through things we've learned. You know, in our first teaching, we were able to establish that God doesn't lead by superstitions. Is that true? Yeah. So you wake up in the morning and under your feet is scratching. You say, God is asking you to go out and go and win contracts. Yeah, that's superstition. Or you go out in the morning, you hit your leg on the floor or something, on quota. You say, God is calling you to the ministry of construction. You know, things like that. That's superstition. That's superstition. You know, we looked at that. We said, there is no believer that is not led. Yeah, there is no believer that is not led. There is no Christian that is not led. Yeah. The difference between Christian A, who seems like he's led, and Christian B, who seems like he's not led, is that Christian A pays more attention to what? Listening to God's voice. God is a talking God. I mean, we see that from Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be, and there was. So God is a talking God. Yeah, but the saint needs to know that he needs to pay less to distractions and give in more to God's voice. Therefore, we cannot say God should increase the volume of his voice. God doesn't need to increase the volume of his voice. We just need to pay less attention to the distractions of the world. Look at that. Someone should remind me again another point we've looked at in the last 5-6 weeks. We should not be impulsive. Yeah, we looked at that last week, right? Not impulsive, right? Not be impulsive. What does that mean? Don't try and be faster than your shadow. James tells us, be twice a listener, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Hallelujah. Someone give me another thing. Yeah, a believer is not led by his emotions. We looked at that last week, and we're looking at how, you know, emotions are better followers than leaders, right? So emotions are terrible leaders and better followers. Yeah, so in fact, even for the world generally, never be caught doing things because of emotions. Because a lot of times you regret it. Hallelujah. Never be led by your emotions. Yeah, never be led by your emotions. Number three, any other thing again? God is light, which is life. So every believer who has life has the life or light of God. Someone give me something else. Beautiful. I love that. I remember that. Believer is not led by opportunity. What does that mean? Because you got a visa, you automatically think that as God is sending you out of Nigeria. No. But really, the saint is not led by opportunities. Yeah? You don't allow opportunities to lead you. You can allow God's word to lead you. Give me something else. There's no ambiguity in God's word. What is that? God's word, yeah? What does that mean? When God speaks, there is no darkness. There's no shadow. Yeah, we try to explain Romans chapter 12 where it says that, so that you might know the good will, the acceptable will of God and the perfect will of God. Has a good will for you. There's no acceptable will for you. Then this is God's perfect will. No. God speaks and his speaking is clear. Light and light alone. No variance. There's no shadow. Yeah. There's this girl I like, but it's God's good will. There's another girl because she's more fleshy. This is acceptable. But this one is beautiful and fleshy and all whatnot in your fleshly heart. I mean, you can't find that beautiful, fleshy. Are they characteristics in the word? Are they characteristics in the word? Is your heart now? No, is it bad? No. It's not bad, right? Yeah, and some guy, beards, you know, all those kind of things. It's not bad now. Yeah, I like it. I like it when he's always on punk. Yeah, it's not from the word. You like it. Yeah, so you don't say, this one is doing afro. But this one has afro alone. This one afro and is fair. This one is afro, is fair. He has beards. That's God's perfect will. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we don't, there's no ambiguity in God. So we explain that scripture, Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, yeah, that you might know the good, that is the acceptable, that is the perfect will. The same thing, one are the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this morning, we'll continue in that line. We'll try and see what we can do, you know, regarding that today and see Well, if you can round up this teaching on Wednesday online. If you have the Bible, start with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. God's Spirit is God's answer. Glory to God. Say that after me. God's Spirit is God's answer. Are we in Matthew 28, verse 18? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus came and said unto him, Jesus came and said unto them, rather, saying, so that means he kept saying that all power, that word their power is the word authority. Yeah, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. Yeah, we looked at that over and over. We said that what the saint has, or what we have as saints, is the name of the Son. Yeah, not the name of the Father. Yeah, remember like we do? Name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit. So we have to divide Holy Spirit into two. Yeah? Name of the Father, name of the Holy Spirit, then. You know, we looked at that on Friday. You know, if you don't practice, they will beat you in Christ. Hallelujah. It's like reading, you know, like we always say, like we said, over and over. If you have an exam to read for, go and read. Don't go to the wilderness and be praying. Go and read. Before you want to read, pray. And pray your hours before. Yeah? Read because of the exam. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, so all those religious practices, yeah? Or when you carry ororo, you know what they call ororo? Ororo. Yeah? That's the English word for the Yoruba word ororo. It's ororo. Yeah? So you buy your car, you open your bonnet of your engine, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? You know, I think I can always say, people that have Rolls Royce don't do that with their cars. What do? They rather take it to mechanic to service it when it is due. But you know what we do, Nigerians? When you buy a car, you sprinkle the oil. You sprinkle the oil. And when it's time for service, you don't service. The oil works. The oil works. You know, some people are even very interested in that. It's beginning to pour anointing oil inside place for engine oil. Look at Matthew 28. So when we say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. That word they're baptizing, we looked at the full series explaining that. Yeah? When it means, it didn't say putting them into water. Yeah, there's no instruction in scriptures to dip people into water. Dipping Christians into water is a waste of time, waste of energy, waste of name, waste of time, waste of avenue, waste of water, waste of everything. It's not asked in scriptures. So when you see baptizing them in the name of the Father or the Son, it's like indoctrinating them, yeah, into the work of the Son. Hallelujah. So verse 20, you know, says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that word they're teaching means to use a particular content to teach. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. Yeah, this scripture didn't say I'm with you up until when you sin. Hallelujah. It didn't say I'm with you up until when you keep confessing me as the Lord and Savior. No. Yes, a man that believes the gospel, the responsibility to keep your salvation has left your hands. You have no strength over God. Hallelujah. So when it says, lo, I'm with you, that's an assurance to the saints. So every time you feel like you are alone, going through anything, what do? Go to Matthew 28 and 20 and remind yourself. God says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that word there in verse 19. Going into the word and teach. That word there, teach, is the word that means to make people students. To make people disciples. Yeah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yeah. Teach people. Yeah. To make them students. Make them students. So when it says make people students, the second word in verse 20, teaching, verse 20, yeah, that word they're teaching means that for you to make people students, there's a particular content that must be used. So what did Jesus do? Acts chapter 1, quickly, Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Because Jesus wanted to give disciples the particular content they should use. See what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Luke now tells us, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles he had chosen. What did he do for? Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, that's from scriptures, being seen of them for 40 days, and what? Teaching of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught for 40 days. What was he teaching about? He was teaching about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What's kingdom of God? We've looked at it over and over. That's a figurative expression for the resurrection. So Jesus taught for 40 days about the resurrection. So Jesus did not teach about politics. Yeah, Jesus did not teach about kingdom takeover. Yeah, Jesus did not teach about how to make money. Look at it. Look at verse 4. After Jesus finished teaching for 40 days, see what happened. And being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait to the presence of the Father until you have heard of me. Look at verse 5. After 40 days teaching, see the questions they asked. Verse 6. After teaching for 40 days seminar, see the question they asked. When they therefore were come together, after teaching, they said, oh yeah, Jesus, calm down. We've heard you. Resurrection is not past. Resurrection is the reality. That's 40 days teaching. Okay. See the question they asked. They asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Hallelujah. So it means that for them to ask that question as a preliminary question after 40 days teaching, it means that Jesus did not even smell it. Altogether. They said, will thou again restore? That means he didn't touch it. Remember, we always say, at this point in time, the man that was in power was a Roman man. So the Jewish kingdom had been taken over by a Roman man that was leading them. So they thought Jesus was coming to come and take over from the Roman man to give it back to the Israelites. That's why they asked that question. What did Jesus say in verse 7? We've done exegesis on that verse before. He says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know. Yeah, he now goes further. The seasons, the times and seasons which the Father has put in your power, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it means that your attention should be about what is regarding that work of salvation. Yeah, what Jesus sent us is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in my name, not involved in politics because you are. So can a pastor be in politics if he wants to? Not because God sent him to politics. God doesn't send people to become governors. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Yeah, so there are definite teachings of the church. There are definite teachings of the church. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 tells us, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yeah, so they saw it in scriptures that there were prophecies about a government being upon Jesus' shoulder. They thought it was National Assembly government. Jesus came and corrected them. No, I'm not about that. I didn't come to restore. Hallelujah. So the work of the church is definite. Now, we see something important. The disciples had a sense of leading in their activities. And the truth remains that for them to have recognized God's leading, so to say, Jesus must have taught about it. So, when it comes to leading of the Spirit, it is a subject that must be taught by the church. Yes, interesting how as churches nowadays, we know God knows how to lead us to go and sweep our streets. But God doesn't know how to lead us to go out and evangelize to people. Then someone comes and says, God led me this morning that we should not have service. Imagine I just come to church on Sunday morning. I say, God led me this morning that we should not have service this morning. We just go out and pick from Dunamis Junction to After Gospel Light. That as we clean the street, it will clean our life. As we clean the street, it will clean our life. No. No, your life has been cleaned. Once you believe the gospel, your life has been cleaned. You have a new life. Yeah, so God doesn't lead people to that. So, now look at it. Can I wake up on a Sunday morning, in as much as I'll be a misplaced of priority? I can wake up on a Sunday morning and come to church and say, this morning we're not going to have service. Let's just try and keep our environment clean. What did I do? I've succeeded in not including God in my life. But at the end of the day, we'll do what I think we should do. Yeah, let's go out and clean the environment and make it everywhere clean. You know, these people have made cattle everywhere. That's fine. But God said we should not meet to go and clean. So, washing the toilet or cleaning the street is your civic responsibility, not your doctrinal responsibility. There are things you are called to do as believers. Hallelujah. You know, it's possible to be married to somebody and not know so much about the person. Is it possible? It's possible now. You don't think it's possible? Is it possible to have a father for... Are there some of you that are here that maybe you've lived with your father for close to 20-something years, and just last week you discovered something about him that you've not known for years of your life? Is it not possible? It's possible. Yeah? Same thing with God. Yeah? So you can have the indwelling of the Spirit and not know God. Yeah? Yeah? That you are coming to church doesn't mean you understand God. That you are coming to church doesn't mean you know God. That you are preaching as a church pastor and you are leading members doesn't mean you know God. That you are preaching to 20 billion people and they're listening to you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday, doesn't mean you know God. Remember, we always say in Gospel Acts, results are not proofs that what you are doing is in alignment with God, what God will have you do. Have you not asked yourself? People have been praying for people that are sponsoring Boko Haram to die since 2010. People have come out to do video, live video, 30 minutes prophesying anger, walking in the flesh. Who has died? Is Boko Haram not getting stronger by the day? Yeah? What is God's will for Boko Haram? That they might be saved. So, there is never a time where walking in the flesh will be correct. There's never a time when walking in love will be wrong. And there's never a time when walking in the spirit will be, walking in the flesh will be correct. Never a time. Yeah? That you talk God every Sunday doesn't mean you understand God. You see, in God's parables, we pay attention to explain God's nature almost every service. Hallelujah. So, you know, because God's leading has experiential facts to it, hearing, seeing, you know, and things like that, people usually assume that every Christian knows it. Yeah, hallelujah. Remember in Acts chapter 10, you know, and Peter had a revelation. Is that true? What did he have in the revelation? Food was lowered down to eat, and what? Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Is that not the instruction? Yeah, but in that revelation, was Peter to kill any animal? No. What was the interpretation of the revelation? Acts chapter 10, go and preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. That is what he saw as a revelation, as what? Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Literally speaking, what you are thinking about is you see a bird, you kill, you rise, you kill, you eat the bird. What that was used to mean to him was that go and eat Cornelius. How do you eat Cornelius? By preaching the gospel to Cornelius. So, you see, in the real sense, you don't have to be a Christian to have visions. We're going to look at this on Wednesday. You don't have to be a Christian to have visions and dreams. How we know how mature you are as a Christian is what you interpret your visions and dream to be. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't have to be a Christian Cornelius not have a dream in Acts 10? Was he a believer? The dream vision Cornelius had with an angel was for him to be saved. That means you can have a dream or a vision without being saved. How do we know how Christian you are? Is when we see your interpretation to what you see as a vision. So, in our day and time, so prophets now can say that rise, kill, and eat means that Jesus means you should be raining curses on people in Borno. After all, it looks more synonymous. Rise, kill, and eat. But what did that mean? Go and preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Hallelujah. Are we here this morning? So, how did Peter know how to explain that vision? He attended Jesus' 40 days teaching. Was Peter there? In Acts 1, Peter was there. What made Peter have a proper understanding of his vision was the word he must have been taught when Jesus taught for 40 days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and they are profitable. That word they're profitable means advantageous for teaching, yeah, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it means that the word of God instructs. Is that true? So the word of God is important for instruction. Now, it's important to note, like we always say, that as saints, we are not to be result driven. Yeah, really, when we are giving instructions from scriptures, the truth is that what matters the most is that we are obeying. In obeying, we are growing spiritually. Are we together? In obedience, we are growing spiritually. You know, so results to God might not really be results to man. I mean, if you look at Jesus, yeah, to men, when Jesus was being killed, it looked like he was weak. But to God, that's the fullness of his strength being demonstrated. Are we together? So, results are not proofs that you are in alignment or you are obeying the leading of the Spirit. Yeah, you know, like we said something on Friday. We said, you know, people always say something like, provision always comes after the vision. Hallelujah. Yeah, for every provision, you must catch the vision. Yeah, pro is the Latin word that means after. Yeah, so what is provision? After vision has been caught. There are some times you will hearken to God's vision and you will not have one area in your pocket to execute it. There are some times God will send you, go and start this church for me in that village. You will not have the money. What do some of us do? Once you just mistakenly breeze into one country like that, yeah, and they welcome us well at the airport, you know, they greeted us, we went to the hotel, they collected our bag, you know, they just serve your food, maybe because we are used to poverty in Nigeria. And so they serve your food, they collect your tray, they collect everything, you know. When you now come out to Nigeria, you say, God is passing a message to me. What does that mean? They are receiving me in that country. So, a lot of people are resulting. So, I mean, look at it today. How do people know true men of God? Any man, minister of the gospel, that prays for people to die in the name of Jesus, walked in the flesh. There's no mixing to that. That is the fruit of the flesh. Look at it. What's the meaning of Jesus? Jesus means salvation has come. God saves. So I command you to die in the name of the one who saves. I command you to die in the name of the one who saves. You know, we want God to come. God of Elijah, send down fire. Oh, mighty man of war. Yeah, is God a mighty man of war? Yes. How do we know? Seeing the fact that we see the defeat of the devil upon resurrection. That's the mighty man of war. So, strength is not in how well you can oppress, but how well you can forgive. That's strength. Strength is not in how well you can oppress, but in how well you can forgive. So, if we are praying for people in the north, and we are praying for this, for God to intervene in the north, the solution to God's intervention, or God's intervention as a solution, is the gospel presented to them at the north, in the north. That's how, you know, we keep saying it. A lot of us, life has humbled us already. So, when you are doing some things, don't feel like you are a humble person. Or a soldier guy should hit you from the back with his car, and he comes down, you see camo. Say, I'm walking in love. But when is Alakada or Keke Amaruwa hit you from behind, what is wrong with you? Who is your father? Why did they burn you? What is strength? Strength is in the fact that we see that you forgive. So, this is what happens. If I fight with you today, for instance, and you deck me, you know there's a difference between decking and beating. Yeah? So, you deck me. It means, when they deck you, yeah? Do you know how to deck? Let me know if you have an example before they deck me. Yeah? So, if look at it. Who is, bro, let me come quickly. But let me come quickly. Bataiwo, you are beside him. Sir, why is he looking at the floor? What did they throw on the floor? Who is bigger? Who is bigger? He is bigger, right? Yeah, so. So, if he is bigger, so, you know, when I'm pointing to him, I'm pointing to him. So, if he is bigger, right? Is he bigger than me? He is, right? Thank God. Yeah, so he's bigger than me. So, if I meet him on Monday, yeah, and he steps on my shoe, and I say, don't worry, I forgive you. On Wednesday, this is my bigger brother, steps on my shoe. He has not even finished moving his leg, I've deafed him. You know what I mean to deaf? Back down into the hair. Yeah, imagine, I just deaf him. Anybody that saw me on Sunday, on Monday, would think I walked in love. But I walked in fear. When is it expected I walk in love? When I know that I can beat him, but I forgive him. That is strength. In the real sense, if I beat him, I am weak. Look at it. If you are married to your wife, as a man, if you beat your wife, it shows we are weak. Strength in relationship is when you can forgive your wife no matter what she does to you. No matter you raise your hand to beat your wife, you are weak. Go and look for your mate at the motor park. Are we together? Please go back to your seat, thank you. Are we together? Yeah, so results are not proof. You see, so that I beat him now, people are looking at me and say, that guy is strong. But they were not there when I walked in fear with a brother that would deck me. So, results are not proof that what you are doing, you are in alignment with Christ. So, look at it. You can start a church, for instance, people give you car every Sunday. It doesn't mean that you are doing what God asks you to do. Look at it now. You don't have to be a Christian before people dash your car. You don't have to be a pastor before people dash your car. Right? People give themselves cars, either as bribe, as gift, or anything. Yeah. So result as saints, we are not to be result driven. Glory to God. Remember, Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that, you know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You know, so from, remember, Romans, go to Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 9. Look at verse 9. You see, but ye are not in the flesh. Everyone, look at me. Yeah? Are we all in the flesh? Yes and no, right? Okay, who is here that is a spirit? Okay, let me say it better so you can relate. Who is here now as you are a ghost? you know, people are going to say, you know, I've heard people say there's a difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. You know, that's why you see when people pray, they don't say Holy Spirit fire. It's Holy Ghost fire. And you know, it's only like Nigeria, anyways, Nigerians, we have our Holy Ghost that has fire. So, when he says you are not in the flesh, is he saying you are not in your physical body? So, he said, if he's talking about you are not in the flesh and the spirit, would that be more of a nature or of a physical reality? More of a nature, right? So, ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the spirit. So, there is flesh, there is spirit. Go to Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If Romans 8:9 tells you are no longer in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. So when it says, for as many as have been led by, or as are led by the Spirit, where have you been led from? Flesh. So that means there was a time we were once in the flesh. Now you are in the Spirit. Yeah, that word there, led, is the Greek word agio. It means to be translated from a point to another. Hallelujah. It means to leave a point to another. You know, Paul now uses something very interesting. So, point A that we left in Romans chapter 8 verse 9 is what? Flesh. The point B that we got to is what? In the spirit. Go to Galatians quickly. Galatians 5 verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Listen attentively now, saints. So it means that, remember from Romans chapter 8, point A is what? Point B is what? Spirit. From here, which one do we have clearly stated? Point B. So if we have clearly stated point B here, where did we live from here? The flesh. What did they call it here? So can we say the law is equal to the flesh? So can we say the spirit is equal to the spirit? Constant. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now, remember we said something. Point A is what? Romans makes it flesh. Galatians 5 makes it what? Law. What did he say it? Say it here. Works of the law. Is that the same? Yeah, so he now says now receive ye the spirit. Is that point B? Is that constant? Yeah, how did you receive the spirit? By the hearing of faith. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 now. Stand fast therein in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So let me ask a very interesting question now. What is the yoke of bondage? Is it going to be point A or point B? Beautiful. So point A is equal to the flesh, is equal to the law, the works of the law, and is equal to what? Yoke of bondage. What is point B? The spirit. Now what again? The freedom we have, liberty in Christ. So go back to Romans 8 now. Go back to Romans 8, verse 14. See, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it means that if you are point B, you are a son. Is that true? So you've been led from point A into point B to become what? A son. So one who has been led from flesh into the spirit is now God's what? Son. Okay, it makes it clear. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. Is that familiar to Galatians 5:1? Yeah, yoke of bondage. Is that familiar? Now, so what with spirit of bondage, will it be at point A or point B? Beautiful. Yeah, we're following. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. So what is spirit of adoption? Point B. Beautiful. Whereby we cry, Father, Father. Look at 5 verse 16. The spirit, what is the spirit, a it or a him? Yeah? So the spirit, so a good way to read Romans 8 verse 16 will be the spirit himself, not itself. That's the wrong translation. Yeah? The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What did he call us in verse 14? I love that we're following. Look at verse 17. And since, now, is it going to be if again? Are you if you are a child? It's not an if. So imagine your father gives birth to you and say, but anyway, you know, in Nigeria, we used to torment our children. If I born you, if you came out from my womb, yeah? The reason it should be since you came out from my womb, yeah? Because there's no, two women don't give birth to one person. Amen? Have you seen? Yeah, so, and since ye are children, then you are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, are we sons of God? Are we children of God? Yes. As children of God, who are we? We are heirs. Who is an heir? One who has an inheritance. One who has an inheritance is one who is known as an heir. So it means that as a saint, being born of God makes you the son of God, and you, there's an inheritance that you have. So, what is the inheritance that you have upon receiving the gospel? Who said that? Beautiful, the Spirit, beautiful. So, what is your inheritance as the son of God? The Spirit. So, it means that the inheritance you have, there's a Spirit in you that will lead you in the Spirit by the Spirit. So, let me say better. There's going to be an inheritance in you which is going to be well maneuvered with or by the Spirit. So, the moment you are a son, automatically you are an heir. Moment you are an heir, automatically there's an inheritance in being a son. There's something you inherited. You know, these are scriptures like this that make people like to squeeze, twist it and say, what part of the inheritances or they have is wealth. You know, it's not true. That's not true. Yeah, there's no wealth as an inheritance of a son of God. Yeah, else Christians generally should not be poor because we're just sons inheritance. Yeah, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right now, the earth is not fully the Lord's. If it's the Lord, go and touch Buhari's cow now. My father is greater than your father. Hallelujah. Praise God. So look at something. So an heir is one who has an inheritance. So it means that we've left flesh, we've left the bondage, now we are sons with an inheritance. So the word they are led, like we said, is being translated from the flesh, from bondage, into what? God's Spirit with an inheritance. Is that true? We've left from the flesh, we've left the yoke of bondage, we've left the spirit of bondage, we've now been translated into the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. In that translation, there's an inheritance we have as sons. He said, say, I'm born of God, I'm son of God, I'm full of the Spirit. Glory. So, that means the Spirit of God will be the one to lead you in your inheritance. In the Bible says, he is your inheritance. Is anybody confused there? Confused? Let me see your hands if you're confused. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go back to go to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So it means that God actually brought us forth by his Spirit. Is that true? God made you a son by his Spirit. Yeah? That we might receive the adoptions of son. You know what the adoption of son means? To stand in place or to stand as a son. To stand instead upon resurrection as a son. So God and Christ has made you a son upon resurrection. So since you are a son, never forget, you have an inheritance. So who is responsible for your inheritance? The Spirit. What is your inheritance? The Spirit. Are we together? Yeah, so when it says, go back to Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 15, 16. Look at verse 15. It should be 17, sorry. And since children, then heirs. Now, that then heirs, is it that you are going to be an an heir, right? Or a, so we are going to be an heir. Yeah, you're actually going to be someone that has inheritance. Abi, that's obvious, right? Yeah, so now what is your inheritance? The spirit. So that means being heir is not a futuristic reality. It means that right now you are a son. That means right now you have an inheritance. That means there's a lot that is yours. What's inheritance? Lot. There's a portion that is yours. In the real sense, the real portion that is yours is actually the whole. In as much as you use the word portion. So, look at it carefully. So, remember, in the Old Testament, there was a land they looked forward to see. What land was that called? Promised Land. What other name did they call it? Canaan Land. Yeah? Canaan Land as the Promised Land. In those days, was that the land of God? Now, who was leading the people into the Promised Land? Moses. Who now finally took them into the Promised Land? Remember when Moses wrote, he wrote using figures of speech. So even the actions that they had that he wrote was figurative expression. So in as much as Moses called it a Canaan, is that God's Canaan? No. Where is God's Canaan? In the spirit. Let's take a back step. The children of Israel, they left Egypt and they crossed the sea. Right? That crossing of the sea, did it really happen? Yes. When Moses wrote about it, was it for us to point our attention to the sea or to the reality that will happen when Jesus leads us from flesh to the spirit? The reality. So God's Canaan is the spirit. Yeah. You know, we always say things like, pray for Israel. Israel is the backbone of the world. Ha. Yeah. So when you see Israel, Israel as a nation is actually figurative for Israel as God's nation. So who is Israel as God's nation right now? He who believes. Is there a country called Israel that people travel to? Yes. Is there any peculiarity to them? No, apart from the fact that that was where Jesus came out from as a lineage. But God doesn't, God prefers Israel. Yeah, don't fight Israel, because if you fight Israel, God will wake up and fight you. No. There are countries that have been fighting Israel. And they're getting stronger by the day. Amen? So, when you see Canaan, Canaan will not be the land that Moses was telling them about. So, now, look at it. Moses was telling them, there's a promised land. There's a promised land. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11 quickly. 26. Look at verse 25. Look at 24, sorry. By faith, who? Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means he had an opportunity to come or to become a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at 25. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sins for a season. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, let me ask you a question. So, it means that when Moses was telling them there's a promised land, in as much as there was a physical place he was telling them about, he was speaking spiritually. Is that true? Ah, look at John. Look at John. John 5 quickly. John 5:39. You said the scripture, Jesus is talking, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. What does that mean? When you read Genesis to Malachi, the testimony you should lead scriptures with is Christ. In case it's not clear, look at verse 46. Four, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So when Moses was saying, out of children of Israelites, to a promised land, what is he saying? From flesh to the spirit. From the works of the law to the spirit. From the yoke of bondage to the spirit. Was there a physical place called Egypt? Yes. So when you sing that song, you split the sea, now I have walked right through it. Was there any time you walked through the Red Sea? If you have walked through the Red Sea, let me see your hand. So that means when we sing that song, that is figurative for what Christ has done for us by his son. So right now, we have walked through the Red Sea by the Spirit of God. So when Moses was saying, yeah, you're in Egypt, you'll be delivered from Egypt, there will be a miracle birth Yeah, that will bring you forth. Oh yeah, there'll be a miracle birth, or there'll be a miracle walking through the sea. That walking through the sea is a figurative action that points to a real walking through the sea. So who walked through the sea and brought us forth? Christ, by his work of resurrection. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans, where we are. Romans. Romans 8 verse 16. The Spirit himself, have you collected that? The Spirit himself. Beareth witness. Now that word there, beareth witness, is a singular Greek word. Yeah? It's a singular Greek word, sumatio. Yeah? It really means together with. Yeah, Romans chapter 9 uses it. Hebrews 2 verse 4 uses it. So, the Spirit himself, in fact, go to Romans 9:1. So the Spirit himself beareth witness together with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look at Romans 9:1. I say the truth, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The same word. Same word. Yeah, so there is a bearing, there is a witness, there is a bearing witness with the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. So in the leading of God, there is God's overwhelming witness. Write that in your notes. In the leading of God, there is God's overwhelming witness. That's why our saints, we have to be slow to recognize his overwhelming witness. God never leaves any saint confused. Can I write that down also? In the leading of God, there is God's overwhelming witness that he wants us to do, things he wants us to do, what he wants us to do. God never leaves any saint confused. So it means that if we are patient enough, we will see it. If we are patient enough, we will see. Look at John 8:17. John 8:17. In the leading of God, there is God's overwhelming witness. Yet God never leaves a saint confused. A saint that you see who is confused is one who needs to pay more attention to God's leading. By doing what? Giving in less to distractions of the world and paying more attention to God's word. That's why I keep admonishing. See, if you cannot handle the social media, delete the app. That thing you call social media has led more people into depression than any other generation. That thing you call media generally. Media. Media generally. The fear that media has put in the hearts of people is sometimes even worse than the things that reality has put in the hearts of people. You know, the reason I'm saying this is because the way you respond to your human activities determines a lot how you respond to God's leading. Rather, that's what made your notes. The way you respond to the activities with men is the same way you respond, usually the same way you respond to what? God's leading. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 17 verse 6. At the what? At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put. You know, so what you're seeing there is two or three. Right? Look at Hebrews 10 verse 28. Hebrews 10:28, quickly, let's quickly see this. Are we there? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Can you see? I'm just trying to show us the consistency of two or three. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 quickly. In fact, because of time, really. So, write this in your note. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 29. Continuation of that two or three witnesses. We have 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 29. We have 1 Timothy 5:19. 1 Timothy 5:19. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Just to emphasize on two or three witnesses. So, we have a template on scriptures how to come to a conclusion, even in scriptures. So there's a template in scriptures. How we come to conclusion. We are not hasty to come to conclusion. In fact, even your daily activities. We're going to look at that in reference to leading. You know, right now, the world doesn't even help. But the truth is that everybody, either a Christian or not, you are exposed to making decision day in, day out. There's no, but who is here that doesn't have a decision to make? There's always a decision to make. Either you have this job, that's better than your former job, to leave, or this, or that. There's always a decision to make. But we see it. Yeah, what led me to what I was talking about? If you need to delete your social media, please delete, uninstall, and stay away from it for a while. You know, everybody has emotions, but don't let your emotions lead you. We have emphasized on that throughout last week. You know, but the same thing we are doing here. So when you are dealing with God's leading, for instance, there should be two or three witnesses to what you are doing. That's why when we are doing believers meeting, there are certain things that people will tell you that other people have told you before. Lift your hands here. If what someone told you this morning, somebody has told you before, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. If what somebody told you this morning, somebody else has told you, let me see your hands. Yeah? Lift your hands. So there are some things that they've told you now already. Somebody else will tell you. Okay, let me ask a question. Who is here that they told you something this morning that bears witness to what you've known? Let me see. So when it comes to the inner spirit, so it's like, you know, in our day and generation now, we have everything done quickly. You meet one guy after 2 weeks, you kneel down. Will you? After 2 weeks, will you? Listen, see, don't let your emotions lead. See, if a man you are dating should ask you out and you are not convinced, you are telling him, say, I will think about it. Don't think of the crowd. And those of let me say it to both male and female. As a male, don't let any lady pressure you into how to propose. If it's convenient for you and you can afford it, do it to make her happy. If it is not, call her, sit down. See, look. I can't. See, look, this is how this thing is. Do you want to? You tell her straight. Instructed. Then 2 days after, what do you do? Go and buy chocolate, go and buy flour, go and kneel down in your room. If she still wants your knee to touch the floor, don't let anybody pressure you. All my friends are marrying. You are barely 21, you are barely 22. You are destination on you. There's 10, if your mother married at 22. Hey, I'm scared. Maybe man will not see me. You know, women are like flower. Once you cross that age of flower, then if they don't pluck you, you will die there. Two or three weeks. Don't let anybody pressure you. Then, man, better if your lady is in this church and your lady is the one you want to propose to, and maybe she doesn't even know it now. But she's the one you want to propose to. She's hearing me now. Don't go to ShopRite and go and call sin. Will you marry me? And she say, I'll think about it. That's what leads people to Judas' walk. Who is Judas? The one who went behind and killed himself. Don't be scared. You see, there's some decisions you cannot go back on because the masters have approved. There's some decisions you have rather gone back on right now. But because the masters have given their approval, that's the end. Eh? I do not see people that they did, will you marry me with the carrier inside the helicopter? Marry me or jump out? How many weeks did the relationship last for? She's not by the drama. Don't let it. See, when you are looking for a man, sorry, he that findeth a woman. When a man is looking for you, don't let it just be emotional. Okay, yeah, as his best. They are fundamental. See, the scriptures leads us in almost every aspect of life. We just want to run away from it. They are fundamentals in getting married. What do we do nowadays? What car did they use? Corolla XL. And so men too. Maybe you can't put me under pressure. People that know me. You come on, pastor, my bro, please borrow me 5,000. If I don't have it, I don't have it. I'll say, now let me get back to you. No, I don't have it. I cannot give it right now. Simple. I don't allow your emotions to be, and say, how would they feel? They will feel that I'm working. Am I working for you? I don't want them to feel like I'm working and I'm stingy. So when you allow people to coerce you at the corner with emotions, what will happen? You just realize that as you are just entering, Just realize, you are where? You are where you are not supposed to be. Yeah. So not anybody goes, if you've dated for 2 years or 3 years and you are not still sure someone in your heart, when you kneel down, tell him please stand up. Don't embarrass. See. Warn him. Or anytime you are going out. Anytime you are going, you know women always like to do backyard planning. Like, anytime you are going out, tell him, see, bro, if you have set people ahead. Please call them now. Don't have to take everything they are doing down. There's a way you will know. You know, women, you know to. You just, this is your nails. When last did you change the color? Indirectly, I tell you, change the color. When you're going for dinner, you're going for this thing, you're wearing normal jeans and shirts. So, I like that down on you. They are planning you. Once you start seeing two or three, those are two or three witnesses. Once you see two or three, what do? You step back. Bro, what we are going to right now is only to eat and come back home. They want to pressure you into one of those. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so don't let anybody pressure you with their social media. Oh, guess who said yes? What? Why should I guess? And some of your friends will never help you. You've not even finished saying yes. They say, we are planning a wedding. Guess who? There's a wedding to be planned. Don't let anybody pressure you. Yeah, a lot of times we look for the, we'll get them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, I realize there's something. That's why when you are doing the work of ministry and doing God's will, don't look for men's approval. Men have clapped some people into error. Amen? The approval of men has pushed people into error. The approval, don't let the approval of men get into your heart. We said that on Friday. Let the approval of men stay, chew it like chewing gum. The reason why you get offended when people insult you is because you took their praises with everything you have. That's why. If they are telling you good and you join around and just drop it aside, you will not feel offended at least too much when they say bad things. So in this world, we don't look for the approval of men. That you repost it, that you post it, and the picture is beautiful and has plenty retweets, doesn't mean that what you are doing is right. There are people who have had 21,000 retweets on their proposal videos or their proposal pictures in the last 1 year, and they've broken up. There are people who have had 21,000 videos and one of them killed the other. That's why, you see, that's why we live in a generation right now where, you know, people believe in divorce, for instance. People don't believe in divorce of man and woman, but they believe that Christ can divorce his church or divorce you as a saint. Yeah? Tomorrow, let me say this for saints' sake, yeah? So you find yourself in a place of leadership, maybe you are pastoring people tomorrow, yeah? And two couple come and meet you. This one tell you, Pastor, you used to flush my head in the toilet. See, there's a level you will get to and say, woman, please withdraw a little and give him space. Not, maybe there's a wedding you're telling me about that they did Abuja. We're going to block Abuja. We use drone. Drone will capture it from on top. Yeah, I want my gown to be 7 feet long ahead of me. I want three people to carry it. After they dance, you dance, you burn calorie. You get back home, you now see reality. This is not what I envisaged. What were you envisaging? There are certain traits you see right now that should make you know what will happen in the future. Yeah? Don't you know, sometimes that's God speaking to you. Hallelujah. So many retweets, many likes doesn't approve what you are doing. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Timothy 4:16 quickly. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take it unto thyself. Look at your neighbor and say, take it unto thyself. Yeah? Take it unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue with them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. Hallelujah. So the saint is to, you know, the saint is not to get familiar with what? The things he already knows. The word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Remember, we've already said that Saint Bob is twice his listener than his speaker, right? Yeah. You know, don't think of yourself as silly when you seek for clarity. Yeah? Don't think of yourself as someone that is silly when you are seeking for clarity. And sometimes you just want to reconfirm. After reconfirming, after confirming, you reconfirm. Looking for sufficient proof. Look at Acts 16. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Acts 16 verse 6. Yeah, don't think of yourself as silly when you're trying to reconfirm certain things. Acts 16 verse 6. Look at verse 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by what? The Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That means the Holy Ghost did not permit them. Is that true? They wanted to go to a city, they were stopped. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia and Astra and into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Still, look at verse 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and praying for him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, there were certain cities they wanted to go to, but the Spirit forbade them. So how did the Spirit confirm to them where they should go? A vision appeared to Paul in the night. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That word there, assuredly gathering. It means that they have put their summary of what God will have them to do amongst themselves, right? And they came to a conclusion. So, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto Macedonians. See, no matter how much you get used to online meeting or church meeting, we are instructed that the saints must gather physically. The believers meeting we had this morning, some of us got clarity, right? Some of us knew what to do next, right? How will you know online? So, it means that there is a strengthening in fellowship. Is that true? They came together assuredly and put together. Oh, this is what God will have us do. What does that mean? We come together, we are praying. What's God going to have you say? And you say, oh, I was going to say, did that happen this morning? Yeah, somebody in your group will say something. Say, I was going to say that. Yeah, if it's you they are speaking to like that, better hear. Because that is assuredly coming to a conclusion. I was going to touch you. What happened? As soon as I was going to touch her, she touched her. What did I say? I trust that the Spirit of God will do to her what I was supposed to do to her. And what did I do? I left. So there were two people God wanted to speak to you, or God was going to use to speak to you this morning. So assuredly they gathered that the Lord would call them or have them preach in Macedonia. So among saints, write this also, among saints, certain things become clearer. Among saints, certain things become clearer. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. Among saints, certain things become clearer. Look at Luke 24, 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that the things was fulfilled were written in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Look at 45 carefully. Look at verse 45 carefully. It says, then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scripture. That means there were a day, there was a fellowship. There was a coming together. Yeah, there was a coming together. In coming together, fellowship is strengthened. Some things are made clearer. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 24. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 24. We looked at something on Friday. We said something. Always choose inconvenience over convenience. When it comes to working for God, we saw an example. Jesus was walking. Somebody met him and said, Jesus, I will follow you, but let me go and bury my father. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury their dead. That looks hard, but that's what it takes to serve God. Imagine just got money. My dad's burial is tomorrow. And Jesus now said, what? Let the dead bury their dead. If you want to follow me, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the walk ahead. Always choosing convenience over convenience. Look at Hebrews 10, 24. He says, and let us consider, let's use together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let us us consider one another. How do we consider one another without seeing ourselves? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word there, provoke, means to stimulate. Yeah, that word there, provoke. Let us consider one another and to stimulate ourselves unto good work, unto love and good work. Look at verse 25. Not what? Not forsaking the online meeting of ourselves. So, in as much as we stook with online for a while, that is not what God's plan is. Not forsaking the assembling, that is the coming together of ourselves. Yeah, that word there, forsaking. You know when Jesus said, my God, why art thou forsaking me? Remember that statement? Yeah, that's the same word there. Not forsaking. Not forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves to abandon, to separate, or to put aside. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hallelujah. So, the God's plan, write this in your note, God's plan is that Christians are not to live in isolation. This is very important. God's plan is that Christians are not to live in isolation. God's plan is that Christians are not to live. So, walking with God is really walking with men. Look at it. If you want to show me how much you love God, how do I know? I can't see your heart, so I must see how you respond and relate with other men. Is that true? Is that true? 1 John 3:17. How can I say love of fire dwells in you, and yet you shut your bowl of compassion when a man approaches you? So, loving God is loving men. Loving God is loving men. Walking with God is walking with men. This is also very important. God uses familiar voices to talk to his saints. Write it down. God uses familiar voices to talk to saints. God uses familiar voices to talk to saints. Remember that story from 1 Samuel? We looked at it already. 1 Samuel, when Samuel was sleeping, yeah, and he had a call. Who did he go and meet? Eli. So he heard a voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel. Who did he run to? Eli. How many times did he run to Eli? 3 times. The third time, what did Eli say? When you hear that voice, what do? You say, speak on. So God used familiar voices to speak to us. That's why as saints, you must guard your circle. Guard and guide and guard your circle. Your cycle, 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 whatever. Yeah, I'm just trying to say the people around you, your association. Yeah, every man is a product of influence. We are all products of influence. All. Everybody is impressionable. We are products of influence. Don't deceive yourself and say, me, I want to be. No. That's your ability or wanting to be the way you want to be. You saw it somewhere. So make sure you guard your circle, because it's easy. Look at it. If you're in a circle where it is you, that only you that is on fire, do well to make sure you create another circle for yourself. I've seen lots of people who, in the quest of trying to put others around them on fire, they become charcoal. They become water. Why? Because we are all impressionable. This is how we start. Where are you going to? I'm going to church. Going to vision. Not only you. That not only you. We still go that night, but the next time to calm you down. Is it only you? Sunday, Wednesday, everything online, everything prayer meeting. Yeah? So if you are the hottest in your group of friends and you are the only one on fire, make sure in maintaining that group of friends, go and look for another circle. Because everybody is impressionable. Every single person. Get people around there and say, sister, let's take a prayer walk. Let's pray for the next 2 hours. Let's just pray. While I'm praying for the gospel, just have a walk. Come back home. Sleep. Eat. Sleep. Life goes on. Men ought to pray and pray always, not only when they struggle. A man that is a saint needs to pray and keep praying. So you must put yourself among saints that will encourage you to pray, such that we are competing. Brashegu, how many hours you pray last week? Brashegu say 2 hours. He say, I did 7. When you hear I did 7, you don't say, are you kidding, Jesus? In hearing Brashegu say he did 7 hours, I'm saying in my heart, 2. That's why you are slacking. That's why you are slacking. Brashegu, how many of the messages you have listened to this week? He say, after the half, and today's Friday. Yeah, we should be able to. See, if you have friends who cannot tell you the truth, better leave your friends. Have you listened to a message this week? He said, no, I started listening to that one, but I'm just on 20 minutes. So that's good. Yeah, what do you say to that, to such a one? I said, such a one? You're trying, but you can do more. So guide the circle, make that a very important priority. You know, God makes life in such a way that we live by example. Yeah, whatever you do today, you are doing it, you saw it somewhere. Yeah, the reason why I study as much as I do today is because I saw it in people. Yeah, I have friends that I can be talking with. Yeah, 2 years, 1 year, we might not pray. But I have friends that if I know that I'm slacking, I know that if I speak to them and say I'm not there, I know they'll say, Oga, why are you dulling? That friends you should have. In doing those things, you realize that recognizing God's leading becomes easier and simpler. Are we together? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. As saints, we are to live in the Word. As saints, we are to live in the Word. See, if you can pay attention to Scriptures, most of the leadings you require for your activities are already well stated in Scriptures. If you can pay attention to God's Word. Write this also. The spectacular is good a lot of times. Yeah, but if you rely only on the spectacular, a lot of times can be misleading. The spectacular is good a lot of times, but if you rely only on the spectacular, yeah, it can be misleading. Yeah, in seeking the spectacular, a lot of times we tend to miss out on the supernatural. Yeah, you see, okay, let me allow you to finish writing that. In seeking the supernatural, a lot of times we tend to miss out on the supernatural. In speaking the spectacular, yeah, we tend to miss out on the supernatural. See, a lot of things that we're asking God to speak to us about, He has already said it in His Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, a lot of us just like seeking or like making everything spectacular. Let me give you an example. You go out one day, one lady just smiles at you. She gives you a spectacular smile. That smile alone bears witness in your heart. That is your wife. Bears witness. Okay. I see. Let me give you an example. You know, a lot of times when we share testimony, a lot of us like to add Maggie. Let me not lie to you. Most of the testimony people are sharing in churches today, a lot of them are not the way they are. Suddenly, how can somebody come and tell you that I had a testimony? I did apply for a job. Someone just called me one day and just said, just say I apply. As one man was sharing testimony in one church on live TV now. Praise the Lord! Praise Master Jesus! All of them shouting and saying, that one is for you. Pray! You know, I don't thank God for the salvation of my soul. The man that is even in testimony, we now say something very, very unnecessary. he say, now to your testimony. So you put salvation as aside. Now, the guy was sharing testimony now. He didn't know that the chairman of his company was watching. He said, I got a miraculous job with, he mentioned the name of the company, let's say like an NNPC. I didn't even apply. I just got a call and he just said that you were fit for the job. I was not even qualified amongst the people. On Monday, he shared it on Sunday. On Monday morning, the chairman came and called board meeting. Sorry, who hired this man that is not qualified? They sacked the HR. They now realized that it was the auntie that gave him back door. They sacked that one too. He himself that shared testimony, they sacked him. They sacked him before he resumed. Just say the way it is. I was looking for a job. My auntie called me, said I should send my CV, and they gave me a job. Must you add Maggie? Suddenly. I know which churches would like to give men that are active to handle testimony. That's it. All of a sudden, and after I finish sharing that testimony, the person will come, the God of suddenly will reach you. They sack him, his auntie, the HR manager. Monday morning. Don't lie. Don't try and, see, don't try and make, see, Don't pray for somebody that has, that was walking out, he's praying his back, you say he has spinal cord disorder. Don't lie. Don't see, a miracle that is a miracle is spectacular in itself. Don't try and make it ambiguous. So something I tell somebody's here, maybe water, he dry inside, it says he say I eat the deaf. Hey, are you the deaf? Somebody's eyes always tearing. You say, God, this God is a miracle one working God. Yeah? And I saw a blind man. And I approached him, and as I approached him, he approached me. Thank God you got it. You say a blind man, he approached you too. I approached him. So don't always make it, don't try to add Maggie. Suddenly, I just got a call. Tell us what you did. Tell us what you did. 500 of us applied for a contract. Only me. Oh, the God of this commission is strong. Ah, forever will always serve you, Lord. I will always serve you, Lord. But you don't tell us that you pay premium. You know now in the secular world, you know I work in the secular world. They don't call it bribe again, it's premium. You know that scripture that says, the gift of a man maketh way for him. He will not stand before men, he'll stand before King. He's not talking about your talent and keyboard. Ah, don't deceive. How many of us have talent here? Who have we stood before? Who are we standing before? Christ. Glory to God. The gift of the gift of the man make way for him. Let me encourage you. Just keep dancing. Just keep dancing. One day they will. That scripture is speaking about the reward there. Is the gift as in the offering, what you call bride today. That's why people that stand before kings, they give premium. What does the Bible call it? Gifts. They pay their dues. It's not saying the gift, my gift. There's nobody that was born with inborn gift though. You don't develop it. God made Cobans blind so that I can show the world that what. I don't know that blind people that are begging you on a traffic light. What made Cobans is that he paid attention to learn music. Yeah, so God doesn't make people that way to make his point so I can show to his glory. No. It's like that. It should be most of them should be doing things showing to God's glory, not 1 out of 20. Are we together? So don't always look for the spectacular. In looking for the spectacular, always usually miss the supernatural ability for your following. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Write this also as we close this morning. You know, we already established that truth is usually established with more than one evidence. Truth doesn't stand alone. Is that true? Yeah, truth usually doesn't stand alone. Sometimes it stands alone, no? You know, but really, for you to, you have to see it corroboratively so, or welcome. That's why you see, for the resurrection of Christ, we have 4 accounts. Is that true? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's end with this. Let me say this. If Satan wants to distract you as a saint, the first thing you usually do is to take you out of company, the company of saints. If Satan wants to distract you, yeah, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. If Satan wants to describe you, one of the first things he will do is to take you out of the company of saints. It will first of all take you out of the company of saints. The first thing, if Satan wants to distract people, usually it will take you out of the company of saints. Because a lot of us, you realize that your prayer meeting, your prayer life is strengthened or was strengthened by someone. Glory to God. Let me say this also. There are some things you will not hear clearly until you listen to others. Let me say it better. There are some things as a saint you will not get clearly. Why? Because of the distractions of the world. Until you listen to people. Yeah, people who are in Christ, saints. That's why as saints we pray that, oh, let God's counsel prevail. Let God's counsel prevail. Let God's counsel prevail. Let God's counsel prevail. Hallelujah. Let's summarize what we've learned this morning. Number one, or just tell me one point. Just check to your notes that one of the points you've learned this morning. God uses familiar voices to speak to us, yeah, using the story of Eli and Samuel. Another one. There is never a time walking in the flesh will be correct. That means there's never a time walking in love will be wrong. There's never a time for giving people will be wrong. Loving God is loving men. Yeah, walking with God is walking with men. Don't think you are silly when you seek for clarity. Is that true? Yeah, we use two or three witnesses to establish that. Yeah, so even your day to day, when you see a news, don't think because they sold the news, even if it's your mom that sent it to you or your father that sent it to you, don't say, no, there should be a, why is it only this angle that this is saying from? Why is it only this one that this is saying from? Yeah, so the same way, remember, how you relate with men will actually affect a lot how you relate with God. Another point. Don't let anyone pressure you. Yes. Yes, will you? Don't let anybody will you out of your destiny. Yeah, another point. Results are not proofs that what you are doing, you are in alignment with God's will or God's leading. Another point. I love that. That's most important. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So God's plan is that a Christian as a saint should not live in isolation. Another point, please. Strength is not in how much you show oppression, but how much you forgive. Another one again. Okay, yeah, someone has said that. Yeah, someone, one more. Give me two more. Don't, God uses familiar voices to talk to saints. Yeah, we use Ella and Samuel as an example. Don't do things based on men's, because of men's approval. Seek God's approval. What we got, see, there are some things you will do that is of God, but people will not support you. When it comes to things of God, majority doesn't always carry the votes. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at men in Nigeria who have started, for instance, look at the likes of the Redemption Camp, look at the likes of Canaan Land. You know, those are men that did not need to seek for men's approval before they started doing the things God had them to ask them to do. At first, it might be lonely. It might be only you hearing it. But as long as you are convinced in your heart, stay there. Hallelujah. Another one. Being an heir is not futuristic. Be the spirit of the inheritance. Yeah. As saints, guard your circle. We are all impressionable. In seeking the spectacular, we oftentimes miss the supernatural. One more. Yeah? Yeah, we've said that. Yes. If Satan wants to distract you, he first takes you out of the company of saints. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah.